Welcome to Straight and Curly,
a podcast for self-improvement junkies.
I'm Kelly Exeter.
And I'm Carly Jacobs.
This is episode 88.
Hello and welcome to Straight and Curly. As we've been doing all season, we're going to kick off with one of the lovely reviews we've received from you guys because we just appreciate them so much. And we just really love being able to give people a shout out on the show. Like every time I hear on my favorite podcasts, people getting shout outs, I'm like, I want a shout out. So I love being able to do that for our listeners, which is really nice. So this week's review is from Irene, and Irene said, I found this podcast by accident, but since listening to the first episode, I can't stop. The girls are well-researched, balanced, fun, and always a pleasure to spend an hour with. The podcast doesn't try to sell any product, course, hack, or impose any view. It's just a really great chat between two amazing women who have a lot of wisdom and productivity advice to share. Would recommend it to all who want to expand their mind and get to know two awesome people.
Oh, thank you, Irene. That's amazing. I also love it when people find us by accident. I don't know how that happens, but I think it's really cool. And look, guys, thanks so much to everyone who helped us achieve our goal of 100 reviews before Christmas. We got there and we're so grateful. Yeah. I mean, reviews are massive from an iTunes point of view because they help us make more they help make us more visible in what is becoming a very crowded space.
Extremely crowded.
Yeah, but, you know, they also, it's just nice to hear that people are enjoying the show. And yeah, thank you all. So, Carls, this is our final episode for the year. And we're going to take an extended break over December and January. So we thought it would be nice to kind of finish up with a bit of a year in review type show.
Yeah, that's right. Just to kind of go over the stuff that we've touched on, things that we learnt, that kind of thing. So we are going to work through a series of questions, and we'll also post these questions in the Facebook group so you guys can work through them too. And we, like, that's one of our favorite things about the podcast is the group, like just being able to go in there and people being able to share their experiences as well. And also the book club is freaking awesome. Mm. I've been loving going in there and looking at everyone talking about being obligers and being, because the last book that we did was the Gretchen Rubin Four Tendencies, and just seeing the different ways that people are discussing it. And my favorite thing about our listeners is that they're really curious and they don't just go by what we said. It's so good. They'll be like, oh, Carly said this or Kelly said this, and oh, I totally agree with that, but have you considered this? And that's what the whole thing is about. Like we're so challenged by our listeners, which is just so great.
Yeah, no, I agree. I love our groups for that. Yeah, exactly that, is that people kind of, it's not just like, oh, we love you guys and we love what you say. Like people will come in and they will challenge us if they don't agree with what we say, or at least ask us to consider a different point of view. Or opinion, and we are 100% on board with that, and we love it. So keep going with that, guys. So the first kind of set of questions we're going to work through, there's kind of three sections, and the first section is like what worked in 2017. So Carls, what worked for you?
The one thing that worked the most for me was I had two areas of focus at the beginning of the year. One was my health, which was not in a very good state at the beginning of the year. And the other was my professional life, my business, which also wasn't in an amazing state at the beginning of the year. Those were just the two things that I focused on solely, purposefully throughout the year, and constantly had that in my head of every day I'd get up, and if I chose to participate in an activity, I would ask myself, is this working towards either one of my goals? And if the answer was no, I would often choose to not participate in that activity. And that was just, it's been so brilliant just focusing on those two things this year. I do realize that I come from a position of privilege where my relationship is very solid, and my mental health is quite good. So I do have a certain amount of freedom being able to focus just on my physical health and my business, but just having those two things as my main focus was just really, really brilliant, and that worked so well, just having that as a focus for the whole year. What about you, Kel? What worked for you?
So what worked for me, I always choose a word at the start of each year to kind of guide my year. And
oh, me too. Yeah. Have we discussed this already?
I don't know that we actually ever did. Maybe we should make that like
Tell me your word.
My word was why, insofar as because I'm, you know, I've always been that person where the usual why is because someone asked me to. That's usually always been my my criteria for doing something. And so this year I wanted to really look at everything I was doing and everything I was saying yes to and say, and just apply the word why to it. Like before you do anything or before you say yes, why, you know, and because quite often, like, you know, being a writer and liking external recognition, I quite often will say things, will do things purely for ego. And I think that was what I wanted to not eliminate, because I don't think you can eliminate that kind of thing. And also, I like your ego, you kind of need it to be propped up every so often, especially if you're a writer. but I wanted to make sure that ego wasn't the driving factor behind a lot, you know, or trying to impress people or having people like me. Those things used
to. It's so hard doing that, yeah. Like when your whole life is online, yeah. And your whole everything revolves around your tribe, really, and trying to cater to them as well as cater to yourself is a really hard balancing act.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's because, like, respect and recognition are huge values for me, like recognition by my peers. And, yeah, I was just finding that I was kind of starting to force it a little bit or be a little bit, yeah, too pushy with my desire for recognition from my peers last year. So that was – I wanted to pull back on that a bit this year. And, yeah, so that worked for me was – really sitting down and being honest about why I was doing something. And even if I went, you know what, the reason I'm doing this is for ego, but at least just owning it and being aware of it rather than being mindless about it. So, yeah, so that's something that worked for me in 2006. Every single year having this one word that drives my year, I have always found that so effective. And maybe next year that can be our first episode back, you and I can talk about what our word for the year is.
The thing is, I was actually thinking maybe that could be the challenge for today's episode, because okay. By the time because people will want their word before the year starts.
Good point.
So this will be going out in the last week of the year. So we'll come back to this at the end, but we'll do that for the challenge and we can pop that in the group.
Good thinking.
And people can start like workshopping their word. Oh, by the way, my word for this year was hustle.
Ah, cool. Yes.
And I've already got my word for next year as well, but I'll save that for the end.
Oh, cool. I have not gotten that far into the future yet. okay.
So yeah. What did you enjoy about this year, Kelly?
What did I enjoy? Gosh, this felt like a really long year. Like the first third of this year feels like it was 2 years ago and not, you know, 9 months ago. But in the first probably 9 months of this year, I did a lot of speaking. I spoke at a few conferences and I love speaking. And I mostly love – because whenever you speak, you're generally at a place where it's your people. So I spoke at the Clever Copywriting Conference, Kate Toon's Clever Copywriting Conference in Sydney. And that was just, you know, it was the first time I've spoken at four copywriters, and the people who were there were just so awesome. I just had the best time. And you know me, I'm not one for loving talking to people I don't know, but it felt like I knew them already, even when I didn't. They were so familiar to me because I guess we all spoke the same language. So, yeah, I really enjoyed speaking for Kate. I really enjoyed the Simpler Way event that I did with Alex and Brooke in Sydney around that same time. And I also really enjoyed, yes, but I spoke at Prologue this year as well, and that was quite a different format this year. They did speaking on the Saturday, and then they did a mastermind day on the Sunday, and that combination was really interesting and really fun and illuminating. And it's been fun watching like the breakthroughs that people made in those mastermind sessions are now starting to kind of bear fruit. So
I've seen quite a few people popping up and talking about them. It's been really inspiring.
Yeah, it's been cool. So I and that all feels like, so ProBlogger was in at the end of July and August, and that feels like fully a year ago.
It does. Like, that was when we had lunch together that yes. day, and then we posted the photos, and people were like, "Oh, good healthy choices." And we were like "You have to be really careful about it."
Good. I'm glad we chose that place for lunch, and then we did our first ever Facebook Live because you made me. Because I was like, "Do I really have to do this?" Oh, I don't think there's enough internet, Carly. And you were like, "No, there's enough. Sit down." So what did you enjoy this year, Carl?
My favorite thing that we did happened accidentally. I can tell my really fun story now. So we spent 3 months of this year living totally nomadically, which was really wonderful. But I mean, we obviously still worked and we worked really hard, but those few months of just like, we spent quite a lot of time at Ben's family farm, and then we went to Indonesia. I went to Indonesia, and then Ben met me there after Vietnam, and we basically like lived in Bali for like 3 weeks and just worked and stuff, and it was amazing. But the reason why we had to get out of our house for 3 months is because this story is a little bit convoluted, but I'm going to tell it super, super quickly. So we Airbnb our house, our old apartment out when we traveled to make our travel costs neutral. And we got this like message in the middle of the night, and Ben was saying, someone wants to rent our apartment for 3 months and they're going to pay us $25,000.
What?
Yeah. And I was just like, what the hell? This didn't end up happening, but randomly something else ended up happening, which forced us to be out of our house. So we were just like, what's going on? And then this person wrote back and said, there's an actress in town who's filming a movie and she needs somewhere to stay for the next 3 months. And we were thinking, an actress? And they were like, oh, can she pop around tomorrow and see your house? And we were like, yeah, sure, that's fine. Because we were kind of going, well, like we obviously can't leave our house for 3 months. And then we went, we can do pretty much anything for $25,000. So we were like, we'll just make this happen. So we were trying to figure out who it was going to be. And we realized that they were shooting Picnic at Hanging Rock just up the road in at Abbotsford Convent. So we thought it would be, because our house was nice, but it wasn't, you know, like it was tiny and really well located. So we were thinking that it was probably going to be Yael Stone. She's an Australian actress who was in Orange is the New Black, and she is in Picnic at Hanging Rock. So we were expecting like some Australian local who wanted to live in Fitzroy. We open up the door and it's Natalie Dormer, who is Queen Marjorie from Game of Thrones. Oh. We nearly died. Ben has got the biggest crush on her, and he just like, he opened up the door and we were just like, it was because we knew she was in the movie, but we thought she was too fancy to stay at our house. So we just got like scenario A of opening up the door. Ben like floated up out of his body and just left me on my own talking to Natalie Dormer. She was amazing, like unbelievable, so funny, so sweet. She didn't end up staying there, but she came into our house and touched all of our things, including me. And so, and then she left. And then Ben's like,
never shower again.
Ever, ever. And then like, we just kind of slunk to the floor and just sat in our hallway and stared at each other for 5 minutes being like, did that actually happen? Did Natalie Dormer just come inside our house? But the reason what ended up happening was she didn't end up accepting it. And then we ended up leaving it up accidentally. And then some other guy booked for a full month. So we only had him come in for a month, but then we ended up going away for quite a while anyway. So we ended up living nomadically. But yeah, so that's my fun story from the year and why we ended up randomly not being in our own house, kind of because of Natalie Dormer, but also not because of her.
That is an awesome story that could only happen to you. Dead set.
Yeah, it's a whole
this
thing.
This is your life. So, okay, so who did you enjoy spending time with this year? Present company excluded.
Oh, obviously. I realized the other day that I only have like 3 friends in Melbourne. So I went to the theater with a friend of mine, and with my friend Fee, my other friend Kate from Secret Bloggers Business was going to come with us, and then she couldn't come. And so then my friend Nina, who I talk about a lot, I asked her if she could come and she couldn't come. And I was like, well, and also my best mate who has a baby who pretty much can't, you know, do anything at the moment. I was like, well, that's literally all the people I know. I was like, so I don't have that many mates in Melbourne, but I'm really looking forward to going back to Canberra next week and hanging out with all my people there. One other thing is that my best mate had the baby this year, and I'm really, really enjoying spending time with her and her son. It's just really chilled, and it's like this lovely bubble where nothing else exists outside of my life. It's kind of, I think I've found like my meditation or my yoga or whatever, just hanging out with her son and just holding him. He's just this like dense little snuggly ball of goodness, and I can just like hold him and just forget all my troubles. It's quite wonderful. So yeah, those are the people I've been loving spending time with this year. What about you, Kel?
I mean, beyond the obvious, which is always my family, like that's kind of my favorite thing to do, is just, you know, if I could do anything on the weekend, it would be to not leave the house and just hang out with my husband and kids all day. But the thing is, when you've got
such
kids,
an introvert,
they got to get out of the house, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Beyond them, we went to the third and final Tropical Think Tank conference in the Philippines earlier this year, which just seems like
– final? Does that mean they're not doing
it? Yeah, no, because Chris and Urs have moved to the UK. So, yeah, and they're doing a different conference over there. But, yeah, the people at that conference are amazing, and it was just amazing to be able to hang out with them and learn from them. And the speakers were fabulous as well, and – learned so much from them. So that was, yeah, but like I said, it just feels like such a long time ago, even though it was actually March, so like 9 months ago. I've enjoyed getting to know some of the mums from school a bit better, some of my kids' parents, and I've just also like I got to go away for a weekend with three of my closest girlfriends for my 40th. That was my
I remember that.
I chose not to have a big party because I remembered I don't like parties, especially don't like parties where the reason everyone there is for me. So yeah, I don't mind parties if I can go engage at my own level and then leave when I need to leave. But yeah, when everyone's there for you, you can't leave early. You can't ghost out to your own party. So I went away for a weekend with my girlfriends, and it was just delightful because we just don't get that time together anymore, myself and my friends. Like we are all my friends are, you know, triathletes. And so we went from back in the day, seeing each other literally every day and for hours at a time, to now, you know, we hardly see each other at all. So it was just divine to have, you know, my friends for a whole weekend, no kids, no partners, no anybody, just great chat. So yeah, there's lots and lots of people I enjoyed spending time with this year, and if I went through the list, it would take too long. So we shall go on to the next question, which was, what was your biggest achievement?
My biggest achievement is losing 10 kilos. So I think the last I don't know how what I was up to the last time I spoke about that, but I've hit a 10 kilo weight loss this year, which is awesome. The first half of the year was just so disappointing because I was working so hard and nothing was happening. So I'm thrilled that I managed to crack my own code. And it took literally a full year of experimenting. So having those months where nothing was happening and then finally having that payoff now, which is just, it's such a big relief. I also did a charity blanket for World Vision, which is almost finished. I'll be doing that next year, finishing it off and raffling that off next year. I also travel to Indonesia with World Vision, which is just always such a huge honor and just such an amazing thing to witness. And I just feel so grateful every time they choose me to travel with them. It's just such a gift. And I also managed to grow my business up from the hell slump that was 2016. So that's good. What did you achieve? What do you think you're, oh, wow, Kelly, you had so much stuff you did this year.
Oh, do you reckon? When I was sitting down trying to think how I was going to answer this question, I was like, I don't know. What did I achieve? I always kind of feel like a big achievement for me is keeping a lid on the overwhelm and the, you know, the ridiculously stupid busy franticness, because that's such a, you know, that was my life for such a long time of constantly overcommitting, constantly burning out, constantly hating the world, dialing everything back, being less busy for a little while, then feeling better because I was less busy, so taking on too much again. And it was just this constant cycle that I was in. So each year that where I can look back on the year and go, yeah, you know what? You had a very busy year, but it was not, you weren't drowning in overwhelm all the time. To me, because I know what my natural disposition is, if I can look back on a year and pat myself on the back and go, you did not go there. You did not go to overwhelm and franticness. I consider that always to be a big achievement.
I think that is a big achievement. I think a lot of people wouldn't even, because achievement, I think people look at it as something that's quite tangible, whereas, or it's thing like that you can write on a certificate. Kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Whereas, yeah, I consider, yeah, like I said, because I am who I am and because it is so against my natural grain to stay on the nice side of busy and not tip over, anytime I can look back and say I've done it, I'm quite proud of myself because it affects everybody in my life when I go the other way. It affects my family. It affects my coworkers. It ripples too far. So I'm quite proud when I'm able to, be closer to the person that I want to be, and staying on the right side of that busy equation is crucial for that. And then I guess the other big achievement is this book that I've been working on with James Schramko for 18 months.
His name is so hard to say. Every time I say it, I'm like Shram.
Yeah, and another one of these kind of old mentors calls him Shrek. And it's like there's an M in there. And I know where are those letters? but yeah, that's been 18 months in the making, this book, and it's been such an interesting project to work on because I did a podcast with James last week where he mentioned how much resistance he had to the project. So even though he really, really wanted to get this book out, he personally had a lot of resistance, and it was kind of my role to push him through that resistance to get what I needed out of him to be able to arrange the words on the page in a way that could be marketable and get his ideas out into the world, because his ideas and thoughts are going to be able to help so many people with their businesses. But if we can't get them onto the page in a way that can be read easily and processed easily, then they're kind of going to waste. So I feel I'm very, very proud of this book. Mainly,
you've been working on it for so long.
Yeah, it's been a huge labor of love and a huge, passion project almost. But it's just, it's very gratifying. It's kind of in pre-order mode at the moment. It'll be out next week, but it's in the hands of a few readers at the moment, and the feedback's been fantastic. And just getting people saying, "I'm only up to chapter 2, and I reckon you've saved me 3 hours in my day already," is amazing, and everything I hoped for the book. So, yeah.
You didn't send it to me, did you?
No.
Oh, okay.
I sent you a screenshot of your name.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I just moved. Was I supposed to get that? Was I supposed to do a thing for you? No, don't worry, just don't even worry about it. That's fine. Cool.
So that was my biggest achievement for the year. So one of the questions is, how did you achieve your goals? So, Carlos, how did you achieve your goals?
It's so boring, but it's just consistency. It's completely unsexy and there's no big flashy lights about it, but consistency is always how I achieve things. It's just get up the next day, do it again. Get up the next day, do it again. Is that just like the dullest thing in the world?
It is, but that's the only way anybody achieves anything. And people, I think quite often they don't like hearing that, but that's how I achieved getting this book out. But it's also how I achieved staying on the right side of that overwhelm/busy kind of equation, is just constant vigilance and constant checking in with yourself and just asking. Yeah, I guess I use my word of the year to help as well, like asking myself why am I, before I say yes to that thing, just check, why are you doing it? What's the benefit to you? Doesn't have to only be a benefit to you, but if it only benefits the person that you're helping, is it the right thing to do? Because I think a lot of the time when we make decisions about how we spend our own time, we think if we spend our time purely on other people, we're the only ones who are missing out. And we think it's quite virtuous to do that. But the reality is when we spend our time on other people's stuff, and we're doing it purely for the love of it or passion and not for any kind of monetary gain or any kind of gain for ourselves. While that sounds nice, the fact is our partners are missing out and our kids, if we have them, are missing out. So we're not actually just making a decision based on ourselves. We're making a decision based on them as well. And that's what I'm really conscious of these days. So, yeah, that's how I achieve that kind of balance of, you know, staying on the right side of busy is just asking why every time now. And it gets to be habit after a while. You do it, it's quite second nature. And then the final question in this section about what worked for you in 2017 is, where did you enjoy going?
Well, I only went to Indonesia this year overseas, but I went to rural areas, which was just wonderful. It was fantastic. And these next two are going to sound totally random, but I really love staying with Chrissy and Jim in Sydney. That's Christina from Hair Romance and Jim from Mr. and Mrs. Romance. They live in Balmain, and like their suburb is just so beautiful and the weather is always charming and their apartment is just like it overlooks the water. It's really beautiful. And I stay with them several times a year. And this year I went, I was there like in the middle of the week and it wasn't a weekend. So I just kind of did what they did with their lives. And, you know, I went to Toastmasters with Chrissy and I went to the post office with Jim, and it was just really nice. Like just being a part of their lives. It was just really lovely. And also my friend, her parents have a house in Hepburn, which is just outside of Melbourne. And it's this beautiful house with a fire, and we got wine and we crocheted and went for walks into the little town and got coffee. And I'm just loving these really slow, getaways with people that I love this year. So those were big highlights for me, just spending slow weekends doing lovely slow things. What about you, Kel?
Yeah, I'm going to change my answer because I didn't go overseas this year. I did go over east a few times. Actually, I went to Brisbane for the first time. I've kind of flown into Brisbane but always gone up to the Sunshine Coast or down to the Gold Coast, and I've never actually spent time in Brisbane itself before. So this year, one of the pro blogger conferences was in Brisbane. So I got to go there for the first time. So that was really fun. And it was so lovely because it was warm and it was delightful. And then the following weekend, we were in Melbourne and it was Antarctica.
So cold when you were here.
I had to borrow a jacket off my sister because I do not own a Melbourne level jacket. So yeah, thankfully she had something. I was like, I'm not buying a jacket just to go to Melbourne for 2 days. And so she was like, yeah, thankfully she had something that was able to stand up to the freezingness of that place. That said, I love you, Melbourne. I love going to you. But you know what? We moved into our new house last August, and this year I have just really enjoyed being back close to the beach. So we live about a K's walk from the beach, and I just love being able to go and see the water pretty much every day. I either walk down or go for a run along the coast every day, and I love water. There's something about it for humans. I guess it's the green and the blue, green of trees or blue of water. There's something about it that does something in our minds, and I've just found it delightful being that close to the beach again. So there you go. That's where I enjoyed going, down to the coast.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Yes. So the next question is, or next section is kind of, what are some new things you tried or went through? Devoted self-experimenters, so where do we even start? But Carl,
yeah, this was a huge one. Obviously I tried fasting and it was freaking amazing. I've also, thank you to all of the people who have been contacting me and saying how well they're going with fasting. A lot of people have tried it and it's gotten quite a few people over weight loss plateaus, and it's sparked some good movement in a lot of people's bodies. So thank you for all of your feedback on that. That's really good, because I was quite nervous about sharing my journey with that because I don't like to recommend things to people, and I'm so into making sure that people go on their own journeys and listen to their own bodies. So I've had nothing but really wonderful feedback from people, so thank you for that. So that was great. I also tried going low dairy for period pain, and unfortunately that works really well, which sucks because dairy has no other effect on me, and I love yogurt and I love cheese, and I already don't eat most other foods, so I'm really sad. And I was really slack on my low dairy in the last month, and I had a week of the most horrendous period pain. So it is an actual proper thing, and I've done lots of self-experimentation with that, so that sucks a lot. Yay! I tried low carb, high fat, which was a bit meh. Like, a lot of people have done quite well on that, and it did dick all for me, so not super into that. I technically still do it, but I'm not kind of like drinking cups of cream like the really hardcore ones. One thing I went through this year that I found quite interesting, and I don't really have a kind of life lesson to take from it, but it was just an interesting thing I experienced that just made me think a lot about our perception of ourselves and our physical selves. So I randomly developed a strange allergic reaction to something this year. I'm pretty sure it's naproxen, which is in Naprogesic, so for period pain medication. So it made my skin go all gray, and I ended up covered in hives, and I get one big puffy eye and really puffy lips. It is revolting. Like, it's so bad. And it was actually a really weird learning experience for me, because in terms of my physical appearance, I've only ever been self-conscious about my weight. And that's just sort of been an overarching thing. I've never really zoned in on a particular detail of my body. It's just kind of like, I'm just kind of all over a bit heavier than I'd like to be. And I've never really thought much about my face. Like, I don't really consider it. It's just kind of there and it's fine. But the two times this happened, I just looked awful for about a week and a half. And people really noticed, and it was a really strange feeling for me. And I mean, it's neither here nor there, but it was the first time in my life that I've been self-conscious about a particular part of my body, and it felt really weird. Like, I just wanted to open that up for a conversation for people, because as someone who's never my weight was always my biggest issue, so I guess that kind of took the precedence over everything. But having this weird face thing happen twice in one year, I was like, oh my god, I'm weird about my face now. And it was just a really odd thing. And I was like, huh, this is a new experience. I'm not quite sure how I feel about it. And on a much lighter note, I also tried making yogurt from scratch in my EasyYo yogurt maker, and it's really, really good, because Ben eats just a shit ton of yogurt, and we buy those like packets that you put in the EasyYo maker, and they're like $5 or something. And I read somewhere that you can, basically that's just skim milk powder. And I was kind of going, well, if it's just, oh, sorry, it's just like whole milk powder. And I'm going, well, if I can make it with milk powder, I'm just going to do that. And it seemed weird as I was doing it, but I did it and it worked, and it's amazing. So now I can make a liter of yogurt for 50 cents.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
I know.
Noted.
Yeah.
When I'm trying to think of everything, new things that I tried or went through, I did try intermittent fasting as well, that the 16-8 fast, because you had tried it and so had Claire Hillier from Checks and Spots. And I was really surprised that that ended up working out really well for me, and it's kind of how I eat now, you know, as a rule. I'm not.
Oh, wow, you're sticking to it.
Yeah, I'm sticking to it. It's awesome. It's just what I do, you know, on the weekends, you know, I'm pretty – not, you know, militant about it. If you know, go out for dinner, or if someone wants an early breakfast, I'll just do it and, you know, start again the next day. But as a rule, I've found it very easy to adjust my life to that, and it has helped immensely with weight control, mostly because I now no longer have to obsess about what I'm eating or how much I'm eating, and I'm not. Portion control has always been my big thing that I've found difficult. And now, just because I'm eating in that 8-hour window, I can only eat so much in one sitting. So portion control has ceased to be a problem for me, which means I don't have to think about it anymore. And it's so nice, because I was really worried about thinking about what I was eating, because it's such a fast path for me to obsessing about what I'm eating. So intermittent fasting has worked beautifully for me in that regard. And also, I've found it's sustainable, because I'm not starving all the time. Like, I can get through.
I completely agree with all of those points as well. And also, just because when you're eating in that 8-hour window, I naturally eat less. Yes. I feel like I serve myself smaller portions, because my stomach isn't in this consistent state of having just been overstuffed all the time.
Totally.
So it's like, and I also find that I'm more focused in general, and my energy is more even while I intermittent fast. Yeah. Like, I mean, I also don't eat sugar, so I don't get kind of like crashes and burns and stuff, but I just find my energy is a lot more consistent. And yeah, I don't know. It's just kind of all round a good thing.
Yeah, I've definitely found it works really, really well for me. But you know, as with anything, this is what we talk about on this show, is giving things a try, giving it a good shot so that you know for sure if it has or hasn't worked. I mean, the first month I did it, I was a bit all over the place because my body was adjusting to it and my moods were a bit whacked and my hormones were a bit whacked. But after a month, yeah, everything settled right down. It got much easier to do. And now it's just, yeah, like I said, I remember reading Claire wrote in her post about it that it's just how I eat now. And I was like thinking, really? Like I can't even imagine, but you know, I'm interested in experimenting, so I'll give it a go. And now it's like, yeah, this is just how I eat now. So yeah, that was super interesting to me. I mean, I won't even try going through all the things I've tried this year because we'll be here forever. But was there anything that you learnt in particular this year, Carls?
Yeah, one thing I learned, and I'm in the process of writing about this, but I, in the last couple of weeks, I've realized that I've been carrying around a lot of fear based on how shit 2016 mm-hmm. was. So 2017 has actually been a really good year, but I haven't noticed because I've been terrified of everything falling apart. So there's a blog post I'm publishing on Friday, which is the week that you guys will be hearing this, about things you need to let go of before New Year 2018, because I realized that this year has been very much a year of healing and of moving on and moving forward, which I've managed to do. But I feel I could have been a bit more efficient at doing that if I truly let go of all the shit that happened in 2016, which I hadn't. So I'm very ready to let go of it now. And yeah, that was just a thing that I was reflecting on in the last week. That's also unusual for me because I don't usually, I'm not very reminiscent and I'm not very nostalgic. And
not into self-reflection as a rule.
Not for sure. You're
not that kind of overthinker. You're a different overthinker. Yeah.
I also get over things really quickly. I'm kind of like, come on, get over it, move on. And then I was like, I'm still carrying this stuff around. So yeah, so that's been an interesting thing for me this year. So yeah. So what didn't work for you this year, Kel?
What didn't work for me? The Straight and Curly book didn't work. So that was an experiment. Because we had these podcast transcriptions and we thought, wow, there's just some really interesting information in these transcriptions, and we think that would make a good book, like for people to be able to go back and refer, especially those particular episodes that we used in the book, because they were about diet and some of the lifestyle detox. So they were some of our most popular podcast episodes. And I thought it would be interesting to do it in a book. And I mean, it's a low risk thing for us because we didn't have to spend any money designing it or editing it. We had to spend a little bit like putting it into Kindle format, but that's really it. So it was a low risk thing, but it was interesting because I knew it could go either way because our listeners weren't asking for it. So it's always a little bit of a risk doing something that people are not asking for. And I was like, oh, well, I wonder if it will just get picked up on Amazon by people searching for these topics, and then people will kind of find the show through the book. But kind of that's not how Amazon works. Your book's got to get a bit of traction there first before Amazon will start showing it to people. So kind of essentially, and then the other thinking I had behind the book was, we do need to monetize this podcast in some way. We have been doing it for 2 years and it does cost us money. We don't get any income out of it. And I was thinking, well, I'm not comfortable with just asking people to support the show and just because you love us. So I thought if we can give them something tangible that also helps us, you know, help support the show, maybe that's a good way of going about it. But interestingly, people, like, since you put about the Patreon account in the group, people are like, yeah, totally, we would love to support you through Patreon just because we love what you do. And I was like, oh, damn it. Or yeah, rather than buy a book I didn't ask for, which is what someone actually said.
Well, I actually have a thought about the book, and I think that this was what we were talking about earlier, marrying what it is that you want to do with what your tribe wants and trying to put the best stuff out there. And our highest performing episodes of the podcast were about the diets and the lifestyle detoxes and things. So on a searchability basis, that was the best topic for the book. But I don't think that our tribe really valued that in particular in the grand scheme of everything that we do. And our tribe are the ones that would have bought the book. So I think that we were sort of maybe we misdirected the topic of it.
Yeah. Also, I think you made a good point when I think a few episodes ago where we were kind of talking about the book where you were like, we should write a book, but not of pod, you know, not of things we've talked about in the show. Like you and I should just write a book together. Yeah. And that would be something our readers, our listeners would then be interested in probably buying, but not necessarily a book about things that they've already listened to. And especially as everyone's like, is the book available in audio format? And we're like, sort of, yes, because the podcasts are there. But don't you think it's cool that you've got a book that you can highlight stuff? And yeah, no. And, you know, like I said, it was just, it was an experiment. It's, I think,
but I think it still went well. Like we got some decent sales and it's still selling and it's really good. And people have been very supportive, which has been excellent. So
and it's there.
I actually wouldn't,
you know,
yeah, I wouldn't say that it didn't work. I think it just worked in a different way than we thought it would.
Maybe we call it a break even experiment. And, but it's, but having said that, it's something we learned a lot from, and it will, you know, rather than going and creating more books from podcast transcripts. Transcripts. Next year we can talk about doing a book together around something that, yeah, that our listeners really want to hear from us about. So yeah, so that's what didn't work for me. What didn't work for you?
So one thing I found quite interesting that didn't work was going half-assed at F45. I don't mean half-assed as in like I didn't work very hard, but I was only doing weight-bearing exercises and kept my heart rate below, I think it was like 135. Mm. And that's because I read somewhere that there's a lot of research based around heart rate and exercise and stuff. And I had read that if you increase your heart rate too high, it can actually hinder weight loss and force your body into holding on to fat stores, which is definitely not what I want my body to do. So I was like, oh, look, I'll give it an experiment. And so I did two F45 challenges this year. So they're 8-week blocks where you just work out really hard and concentrate on your eating. One of them I did only strength and one of them I did only cardio. I did only strength. And the next one I did strength and cardio. That was the only thing I changed. And I lost the exact same amount of weight. So I was like, I might as well. So it made no difference cutting it out and it made no difference putting it back in. So I've put it back in because I really, really like working out really, really hard and it feels really good. And I get my endorphins and So, I mean, if someone makes a recommendation that you try something and you try it and it makes no difference and you enjoy doing the thing, put it straight back in, I say. So that was a really good learning curve for me because now I can just go to F45 and train my heart out and not have to worry about it.
Yeah, awesome. And so what about what didn't you enjoy from this year?
Not a lot, to be honest. I had a really decent year. Earlier in the year, I had to take on some freelance writing that was really, really boring. And I hated it, but I powered through and got it done. And I didn't enjoy moving last weekend, but that's done now and we're all in. It was actually a really good year. There was very few things I didn't enjoy.
Yeah. I didn't enjoy my anxiety kind of came back really hardcore in the second half of the year and I did not enjoy that. And I blame Brooke because she's therapy for me. And so we haven't recorded a Let It Be episode since July, mainly because Brooke had like a book coming out in Australia, a different book coming out in the US at the same time. I was working on James's book. And I was also speaking at ProBlogger and doing all my prep around that. And then once I kind of got on top of life, Brooke was doing book tours and then she did this six-week program, online program, Live Life Simply. So it was just way too crazy and we were kind of trying to honor the thing of the show, which is to, you know, do less and be more. But I really, that's where I got a feel for how much my conversations with Brooke were therapy, because she has this way of challenging how I think, but in a very gentle way. And she has a way of getting me to think about things differently. And so because I wasn't getting therapy anymore, I had to go back to a, you know, proper therapist. So
she's cost you money as well.
She really has. So I didn't enjoy the anxiety coming back into my life and me not being able to manage it as well as I have in the past. And I didn't enjoy the fact that, yeah, it's becoming apparent that I have a real problem sitting with discomfort and I'm really, really resistant to it, and it's going to take a lot of work to get over that. And I don't know that I want to do the work. I'd rather just run from it. And yeah, it's very interesting being my therapist, let me tell you. was there anyone you didn't enjoy spending time with, Carl?
No, I avoid people I don't enjoy. So yeah, it was a really good year. I just, if I don't like someone, I'm like, see ya.
Yeah.
So no, it was good.
Yeah, I'm a bit the same as you. And let's be honest, if there was somebody I didn't enjoy spending time with, I'm certainly not going to call that out on a internationally broadcast podcast. But yeah, I'm a bit the same as you. As a rule, I do pretty much hang out with people I only love. So I'm pretty privileged and lucky in that I get to do that.
Actually, there is one thing. It's not a person in particular, but I've noticed because I moved from a place where I never had to drive because I had a tram right on my doorstep, and now I drive every day because I live in a suburb now, and people on the road are dicks. Oh, I get given the finger several times a day, and I'm just like, okay, like, I'm not even a bad driver, but people are just so aggro and they get so cranky. Yeah. And I feel sorry for them. I'm like, what makes you so angry that you had to wait 2 seconds for me to turn around a corner? And because you had to wait, I didn't even do anything illegal. You just had to wait and you didn't want to wait. So you beep your horn and stick your finger up at
me. Yeah, I don't get it either. And I find it very, like, it freaks me out a bit that to be faced with people's, like, kind of over the top anger. I don't like it. So, and it's a bit anxiety provoking as well. So
me too. Yeah. So that's just one thing on that topic. So Kel, was there a goal that you didn't achieve?
I did not get Overthinkers Anonymous written. I finished up at Flying Solo at the end of June. I gave up my beloved editorial job there, and I had set aside, and I knew that there was going to be loose ends to tie off. I knew that going back into Swish Design, which is my design business with my husband, I knew that my business would need a bit from me in those early months. So I kind of gave myself a good transition period, and I set aside September to kind of write the first draft of the book. And I gave it a go, and I just had major, major blocks with it. And I have actually since realized why I've got that block, why I had that block, is because I was approaching the book in a completely wrong way. And I now know what I need to do. But ultimately, I don't know, maybe it's not December 31st yet. So, and I binge write. Like, I don't write books over months and months and months. Like, when I'm ready to write, I sit down and I bang out the first draft in a month. So there's still time. And to date, I have not finished the first draft of that book, and I am a bit annoyed at myself. There have been mitigating circumstances, but it's still a goal that I set myself at the start of the year that has not been achieved. So yes. Was there a goal?
But I think you can cut yourself some slack. Yeah. Like, it was a big year, and you wrote other books. It's not like you just dropped the ball on that completely. So
that's right.
There wasn't a goal that I didn't achieve, but I achieved exactly half of each of the goals that I set for myself this year, which is actually really amazing because the goals I set were fucking epic.
Yeah, like, they were massive.
I set them, like, so friggin' high, and I was happy with half. If I achieved half of them, I was pretty happy. So that was, my year was kind of an aim for the moon and fall on a star, and I definitely fell on a star. So that was pretty good.
Oh, how cool is that? Did you spend time on anything that did not add value to your life?
Some client work, but I mean, you've got to pay the bills. Yeah. And, you know, thankfully I'm in a position where I can phase out a few clients and concentrate on the things that I enjoy doing that also bring income. But I mean, I also enjoy most of my client work as well. So it's just a matter of balancing it all and making sure that it all kind of fits in. But I enjoy work.
Yeah.
So
as a rule.
Yeah.
I spent time on worrying as always. This is a perennial thing for
That's
me.
So you.
And it's so pointless worrying and, you know, looking into the future and all that stuff. So my mantra, and it has been for the whole year, and is that you can plan for the future but live in the now. And I kind of just have been – I have had that on high repeat to myself all year, like every time I find myself casting into the future and going, what if, and what if this happens, what if that happens? And I just remind myself that you just can only put in place what you can and then come back to here right now and just enjoy this moment. And, you know, whatever comes, you will deal with. Having worried about it will not make it easier to deal with. You know this, so stop it. So to finish up, we've got the two last questions. I really love these questions to finish on. And the first one is, what would you like to spend more time on, Carls, in 2018?
So I'm going to get a teeny bit woo here and say that I'd like to spend some time on personal development and mental health. I'm quite lucky in that I'm very mentally well most of the time, but I've been a little bit off this year, like mainly because of the shitstorm of 2016. But that's just really not like me. So I want to look into, and it hasn't been bad. I've just had
it's just
this underlying.
Yeah,
just this underlying something that I'm not quite sure what it is. So I just want to make sure that I keep my anxiety under control before it gets worse. And it's very low level, whatever it is, but there's something stirring there that I think I need to, I don't know, talk to someone about, or I don't know. I just kind of like I've my health is really good and my business is really good and something still isn't quite right. So
you have this impending sense of doom and that's anxiety and it's a bit.
Yeah.
Yay. That's right, cow. When you can't just sit there in the moment and go, isn't life really great right now, you know? And because you feel like, okay, if life's really great right now, there must be something bit shit out around the corner. And you know what? Something a bit shit is around the corner, but, you know, because that's just life. But
something great is also around
the corner as well. Yeah, and we need to be able to ride the roller coaster without, yeah. And my way of controlling it all is to try and like make the roller coaster like a straight line and make life like a flat line. And as people keep trying to tell me, it's not really possible, Kelly, and you need to be able to go with it a bit more. So that's what I'm working on. What would I like to spend more time on? I have loved helping James with his book. I have advised quite a few other people with their books, kind of in a bit of just a bit of an ad hoc kind of way. I want to do more of that in 2018. I want to help people get their nonfiction ideas, book ideas out into the world, because I have just found it really fun. It's something I'm good at. It's something I'm very passionate about. I'm very passionate about every part of the book creation process, from idea conception right through to, you know, design and delivery of the book into the hand of the reader. So, yeah, that is what I would love to spend more time on in 2018. So what would you like to spend less time on, Carls?
Client work and freelance writing that I don't enjoy. I do enjoy most of my clients, but you know, at several points throughout the year, I'm offered kind of, I'm not really forced, but I kind of go, oh, that would just be like a really nice chunk of money. And then I'm just like, sure, I can write about something really dull for 3 weeks straight. I want to be in a position where I don't have to do that anymore. Although having said that, I'm really bad at saying no to things. So I might just end up doing that for the rest of my life. Who knows? But I mean, even when like Crochet Coach is a full-time business, I'll probably still do client work and some freelance work, because I do enjoy it. And, you know, I like working. So yeah, that's, oh, another thing I would like to do is I've got a VA, a virtual assistant, who's really, really great. And I want to take the time to train her properly to do all of the things that I hate doing, like all of the admin kind of things and like the uploading of things. So like, people think that writing a blog post is just writing out a blog post and whacking it up online, but you have to schedule all the shares and you have to put all the images in and make sure that they're all SEO'd, and then you have to format it, and then you have to figure out why the formatting isn't working, and then you have to, you know, talk to your tech guy and try and figure out what's going on, and they're like, oh, I don't know, it's just some sort of gremlin in the blog. And you just, it's just so much more involved than people really can give you credit for. But yeah, so that's one of my goals for next year is to train her up properly. I'm already getting there, but I need to just spend some time coming up with processes and things that will allow her to just do that without me having to tell her to do it.
Oh, cool. Well, yeah, and it would totally be worth your while. And if you read James's book, you'll see he walks you through a few elements around having a team and training them up in there.
Well, I might just have to pre-order that book, Kelly.
You might just have to, Carly. If you pre-order it now, well, before, yeah, people won't know if they're listening to us when this show, when it goes live. When this show goes live, the book will be out. But right now, Carly, you can pre-order it and get it into your hands before anybody else does. Because
I will
send you the PDF. Okay, so what would I like to spend less time on? I have a one-word answer for that, and that is worrying. It's, like I said, it's a goal every year, and every year I'm a tiny bit better, and it's probably going to be a lifelong goal for me. Yes. So,
well, that just about wraps up this episode. It was quite epic. Yeah. But don't forget, we do still have a book available for sale. It is the Diets and Lifestyle Detoxes one. And I actually read it and I think it's really good.
Yeah, I read it too. And I was like, we edited it really hard. And it's so much clearer than the information that we shared in the actual podcast. Like, we expanded and cleaned up a lot of stuff, and I thought it was quite good too, to be honest.
Yeah, and so, like, I think it's also the name is a little bit deceptive. So there's lifestyle detoxes, and they're about the benefits of doing things like giving up alcohol, going screen-free, things like that just improve your general health and wellness as well. So we still have some books available. You can find them at straightandcurly.com and just click on the book tab. We also have finally set up a Patreon page, which is live and kicking. As you know, Kelly and I don't make a cent out of this podcast. In fact, it costs us money to produce. Our audience is growing every week, like seriously every week. It's just like, it just keeps going up and up, which is just awesome seeing those stats. And we've pretty much fully recovered from being switched to an independent podcast, which is why we set up the Patreon page.
Yes. So we do have two goals for that Patreon page. And the first is to get to $500 a month. And that will just basically cover the costs of producing the show. And really, we only need 125 people to pledge $4 a month. And we have got that covered. So, it's the cost of a cup of coffee a month, which we kind of think is a total bargain. And 125 people is roughly 2% of all the people that listen to Straight and Curly. So we kind of feel this is super doable. We've only mentioned the Patreon page twice in the group, and we've never mentioned it on the podcast yet. But if you do support our show, you can, if you'd like to support our show, you can pledge any amount you like. The address is patreon.com. Is it /straightandcurly or /straightandcurly?
I think it's /straightandcurly.
/straightandcurly. Our second goal is to get to 1,000 people to pledge. And when we can do that, if that happens, we can get in guest experts, and we can even start doing live shows, which would be out of this world. But baby steps, please. We would love it if we could get to that monthly commitment of $500, because it just allows us to do a lot more.
We're already at $50, which is great. So we've got our first 14 patrons who are wonderful, and they jumped on board immediately. Thank you so much to those people. You are sparkle unicorn humans and we love you. They are Marie, Emma, Meg, Ellen, Nadia, Amber, Haley, Nikki, Ali, Anna, Jennifer, Emma, Valerie, and Holly. We're just so grateful for your support, and please know that your valuable contributions go straight into making the show bigger, better, and even more glorious.
Yes, and that is, wraps the show up for the year. We have had a wonderful time bringing this show to you guys this year. We love the excuse to chat to each other every week.
It's so nice.
Yeah, and we love the people in we love our listeners who send us lovely emails and tell us they enjoy the show. We love the people in our Straight and Curly groups on Facebook, the book group and the regular group. Like we said at the top of this show, you're just a lovely bunch of humans who challenge our thinking and allow us to take our ideas further than we'd be able to take them ourselves. So we really appreciate your, not just your support, but also your involvement in the show. And we would like to wish you a very merry festive season and a very safe new year.
Thanks Thank you so much for listening to Straight and Curly. This week's show notes and links will be available at straightandcurly.com.
And if you have any questions or weird self-improvement hacks you want us to trial, you can tweet us at Kelly Exeter or at Smaggle, or you can email us at hello@straightandcurly.com.